as part of a state campaign to ensure the safety of children from families in crisis. Without involving the child welfare system, the State Office of Children and Family Services recently announced a process to engage volunteer host families. To explain this initiative, we're checking in with Lisa Garty Ogundimu, the Deputy Commissioner for the Office's Division of Child Welfare and Community Services. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, for starters, can you walk us through the type of scenario where a host family might be utilized in the future under these new regulations? And then later on, we'll get into what a host family home actually is.
Sure. So there are situations where families are either have moved to New York State, moved to an area, and they don't have resources, natural resources, other family members, close friends, and have either a health concern or an other need to have someone assist with a younger child. We don't want children to come into child welfare, into foster care unnecessarily. We believe it's an intervention that's needed for very specific reasons, but a family not having support or resources is definitely not one. And host family homes are a model that allows for volunteers in a community known to a parent to provide that support.
Well, that situation you described sounds pretty broad. So could we talk about some examples in which these host family homes might be used? I mean, you said a health situation. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. does that mean, you know, a kid with cancer and you automatically hand over your child to someone else? So can you elaborate a little bit more on it for us?
Sure. We had a call, I will say, last summer, a young mother who had recently moved to New York State. She was pregnant, had some difficulty with her pregnancy, and actually had to go on bed rest. She already had a young child. I believe the child was under the age of 3 and did not have anyone in the community in the area to assist her with her young child. The bed rest was going to require her to be in undergo a hospital stay for some time. That's the type of example that we're looking for. This is not someone that you would want to take a voluntary and place their child in foster care at all. But she's someone who reached out to a local Department of Social Services and really needed assistance. So that's the type of example. These are parents who can care for their children but otherwise have a need and don't have those natural supports nearby to assist them with their children.
In any given year, how many types of cases can there be like this in New York? Are we talking in the, say, thousands?
I wouldn't say thousands. I don't have exact numbers, but we receive a number of calls throughout the course of a year, and those are calls that come directly to the state, and there are some that go directly to the counties, and the counties manage supports for these families locally.
So then in the case, say, of a single mom who needs to go on bed rest during a pregnancy, mm-hmm. what would traditionally happen with that other child?
Let's say the mom had a resource in the community. There is currently access to, under state law, where a parent can designate a parent to stand in their place. And we have a form that you would follow. It's currently available on our website, and we can get links to that information for you as well. So you can assign someone to have temporary parental rights of your child while you're getting the care you need. In the example of cases that come to our attention in child welfare for families who just don't have anything at all, any resources without this host family home model itself, right now, unfortunately, some parents would have to voluntarily place their children in care for temporary placement in foster care.
The press release announcing these new regulations really stresses that, quote, the bold new initiative will support families without involving the child welfare system. Why do we want to avoid involving the child welfare system? Is that a acknowledgement that the welfare system doesn't work or something? Or how should we be thinking about this?
No, child welfare is it's not at all saying that it doesn't work. But to the point that I was making about a parent having to make the decision to voluntarily place their child in foster care, We believe that, we know, not just believe, that there is a foster care is a specific intervention. Child Protective Services are interventions to support families. There are families that need and require that level of intervention. What we have in this, and there are a small subset of families for whom they just don't have resources. And we are, as a state agency, really being intentional in saying families should be able to get supports where they need them. They don't have to come to the door of child welfare. We don't need a call to the state central register. We need to, as an agency, make sure that we're pushing out supports, placing them in their community, in communities where families can see them, can access them without having to come to this, a call being made to the state central register in any way.
So then who would serve as these host family homes, and why would someone want to do this voluntarily?
There are people who want to do this out of the goodness of their heart. There are people who want to volunteer, same as you have people who want to become foster parents, but there are people who just want to volunteer and assist families in need. This is a model that's been implemented across the country, and we are very much interested in finding avenues and pathways for services to be and connecting volunteers to families in need. And this is really what we see this model is doing. There, a not-for-profit can come in, stand up a host family organization, vet the families, and those families can, if a mother, using the example that I provided earlier, a mom who's going on bed rest and has a young child can meet the host family volunteers in her community and make a decision as to whether or not, which family she would like to place her child.
So ultimately, the parent would have the final say of where a kid would go?
Absolutely. The child always remains in the parent's custody. This is a service provided to parents. This is, again, this is where we are very intentional in saying that we don't want this to be confused as an alternative to foster care or likening it any way to foster care. This is not. That's a very specific intervention. This is a parent in need accessing services and supports to help.
For listeners just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're talking about a new state initiative designed to provide an alternative to foster care for kids in families in crisis. And our guest is Lisa Garty Ogundimu, the Deputy Commissioner for the State Office of Children and Family Services, Division of Child Welfare and Community Services. And those nonprofits that you mentioned, would they be responsible for vetting and, I guess, monitoring the homes if they had any kids with them?
Yes, they will. And OCFS, as a state agency, will have oversight over the host family agency itself. So making sure that they're meeting the state requirements to be licensed, will provide licensure, and then doing record reviews similar to what we do with adoption agencies that are operating within the state of New York.
And what sort of access do you envision parents would retain during this process? For example, that mother on bed rest, could she request her kid be brought to her home so she could see them? What do you see as the future in this type of parental visitation?
The agreement is that you are opening your home to this child and to the parent. The parent retains their custody and their rights to their children. The host family home volunteer and the biological parent would come to terms with whatever agreement for them to have access to the child, to see the child, whatever agreements they come to, and that has to be honored. They're not losing custody. They're not giving up custody. They have complete access to their child at any time as per whatever agreement they come to.
And to be clear, this would be, I guess, a last resort measure. You try to exhaust other options like family members that might be nearby or friends before turning to this option?
That's exactly what we would encourage all families to do. And as I said at the very beginning, right now, parents have the ability to do that. If you have friends, if you have relatives, And there is such a need. As we said, the required documentation is on our accessible on our website. This is just for individuals for whom they don't have, they've recognized that they don't have those resources or anyone that they feel comfortable leaving their child with within their natural circle.
And I have to imagine that for some kids, the transition from one home to another can be done pretty seamlessly, especially if they're, I guess, coming from a well-adjusted situation beforehand. But for kids who might be already suffering, say, mental health issues, or there might have been problems in the home, will they have access to the same type of, you know, maybe supportive services in these new situations that they might have in a different setting, like in the foster care system or any other sort of maybe institutional setting?
Well, whatever resources or supports the child was already receiving, whatever school programming, services, they would continue. This is, again, the goal with this model is to provide a seamless, as we said, level of continuity for the child. Our hope is that we have enough of these programs across the state and also organically, providers in communities, local communities, deciding to stand up a host family home so that, I live in Poughkeepsie. If this were a need, I'd be able to find somebody right in my neighborhood that I could go to, as opposed to somebody outside of my neighborhood, so that you're reducing any stress or additional trauma to a child. Any move is a traumatic one for a child, even with the best intentions. So we want to, to keep that as seamless and supportive as possible.
Stakeholders in this industry have made the point that this could be an easy solution for a family, moving a kid out of one family into one of these volunteers. But there are other options that might be, say, more costly, like providing that mother who's at home with bed rest to some sort of home care worker who comes in and helps provide oversight so the kid can stay in the home. What would you say to the concern that this is just sort of a low-cost alternative to more costly options that would provide families the resources to potentially remain intact?
I would say that the Office of Children and Family Services, the state of New York, and I would even say the federal government is constantly examining opportunities to expand and rethink creatively child care options for families. I've heard the statement that you've made, and this is something that we are all working on at the states and, in partnership with the federal government as well, to be as expansive and creative and thoughtful as we can be with expanding the child care models for our children and families. This is something that we can offer right now in this moment as work is being made on other fronts as well.
Yeah, and finally, then, what does the rollout of this look like? Is this something that's underway now? Is it something that's going to be implemented shortly? And how are you going to monitor its, I guess, success moving forward?
So we are in the process of, the regs went live, were adopted end of last year. We are developing and being really thoughtful about the quote-unquote rollout itself. Our effort is it underwent a number of transitions to the model. We had some feedback from stakeholders. We've engaged our parent advisory board as well. And want to take our time to make sure that the organizations that come in to stand up host family homes are reflective of our communities within New York State. We want to make sure that our agency itself, OCFS, has the right level of oversight and monitoring of the programs that come in. And also that we have a CQI, continuous quality improvement assessment of the model as it rolls out to make sure that we are indeed providing the services to families where they are. So a lot of work to be done. The regs are just one part of it, and we are not rushing to approve any programs until we have the entire model complete and ready to go. We know it'll happen sometime this year, but I want us to be intentional and thoughtful with the rollout. OCFS is working with clear intention, and I would say humility also. For family first implementation, we believe that it is important that we move our services as far upstream as possible. Family First is a federal body of work that was really focused on secondary or tertiary prevention, which focuses on children and families that are known to us. But we know that to do our work and do it well, that we have to move services into communities where families are, where their needs can be met, not only by OCFS, but other state agencies as well that see and meet our families before they call the state central register. We believe the intervention of child protective services and foster care is for a specific need. We don't want families who just need help, who are asking for help, to have to bring their kids into foster care. So we are using Family First as a lever to really transform our child welfare system as a whole. And for us, it's our child welfare as well as community services. And this model is part of our primary prevention community service redesign.
Well, we've been speaking with Lisa Garty Ogundimu, the Deputy Commissioner for the State Office of Children and Family Services Division of Child Welfare and Community Services. Lisa, thank you so much for making the time and good luck with the program.
Thank you so much for having us, and Happy New Year to you and your listeners.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.